Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And, well, it's a kind of an overcast day here in northeastern Ohio, but it's really kind of pleasant out. Might rain at some point today or probably later on today. I think they said could be something coming through. But as right now, it's relatively pleasant, about 79, 80 degrees. The humidity's not terrible. And there's a nice breeze going, which makes it feel pretty good if you're out and about. So hopefully be able to get to enjoy that and get some stuff done outside here this afternoon. And in the meanwhile, also, I hope you'll stick with us here on the radio today. And I hope you had a chance to listen to Pastor Lutz in the half hour before us, and that you can stay tuned to 2 o'clock for Pastor Rusnacko. Another good program will be coming up. And in the meanwhile, I hope you listen to us as well right here on Live with Pastor Al. And let's see, I'm going to go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get into some things here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to come together. Thank you for a good day today, Lord. Bless now, use us for your glory. Help us be an encouragement to somebody through the things that we talk about today. Help us appoint people that are searching to that they might find Christ, and help us encourage believers in their walk with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can give us a call here this afternoon. We've got our lines open today. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you. Also want to mention a couple things here before we take any calls. Reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us. You can also link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'll have more about that at the end of the program, but invite you to our Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock, 7 till 9. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, right where the Ohio Turnpike and Interstate 77 cross. And we meet there, of course, at the same location for church services on Sunday. So all that information will be at the end, or go to livewithpastoral.com. You can follow the links to our homepage, and also you can listen to some past programs there and some other materials and things that we have all at livewithpastoral.com. Also wanted to mention a late breaking thing here. Just yesterday morning, I believe it was yesterday afternoon, the Ohio House added an amendment concerning employer mandating of the COVID vaccine to Senate Bill 111. Now, there was another bill, I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head, that was in the House that was trying to accomplish some of this, but it was kind of stalled in the committee. And so a number of House members got together, and they put together this amendment, and they got it passed 57-38. That's a pretty good majority. And this amendment states that Ohio employers cannot require vaccines that have not been approved by the FDA. And of course, that refers to the main vaccines that are being used, the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, because those have not achieved final approval and authorization by the Food and Drug Administration. They were merely approved for emergency use. And so this would preclude employers in Ohio from requiring or forcing mandatory vaccination with these non-FDA approvals. approved vaccines. So this is an exciting development. House Bill 248, that was the one, the Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Bill, stalled in committee. The Chamber of Commerce, Ohio Chamber of Commerce, and some other groups were very adamant trying to stall that. And check that out. And the other thing that's important here is to contact your state senators. You can go online, ohiosenate.gov, ohiosenate.gov, and you can find a link to your state senator there. And you can send them actually a message right through their link online, ohiosenate.gov, or you can also find their phone number and give them a call, or do both, and tell them to pass this amendment, or to accept this amendment here. Lost my page there. Had it on there. It's always fun when you have something on. There it is. They get back to the right tab here. Tell them to pass and accept the amendment to Senate Bill 111. This is what we need, and this would be great. This will be a good bill through here. Senate Bill 111, which is a bill that allocates federal COVID stimulus funds to local governments in Ohio. So there's some move and there's some pressure to strip this amendment out of the bill when it goes for reconciliation or whatever the process is. So do try to contact your state senator there. Again, go to ohiosenate.gov. That's ohiosenate.gov. Follow the links, you'll find your state senator there. All right, that was the main thing I wanted to mention here. Like I said, that's fairly new, and keep that in prayer. Other things going on that we'll talk about in the future, but again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have Terry calling in already. Terry, welcome to the program today.
This afternoon.
I am doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I think since you're calling from Canada, you're probably getting some rain, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Not too much right now, but enough. It's supposed to be raining for the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, I looked on the weather not too long ago, and the radar had all these storms that were going across Michigan, southern Michigan, headed up on the north side of Lake Erie and just kind of missing us. But we've got some building back toward Indianapolis, Indiana, that I guess are supposed to come in here later on this evening. So we could use a little rain. My garden needs a little rain.
Well, yeah, it makes the trees grow, the grass grow, the vegetables grow.
Absolutely.
The strawberries grow, which is coming up.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, just before I left the Cornerstone United Reformed Church,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me a letter thinking that I was going to become a member there.
Uh-huh.
They said that they praised me for my work, for my desire to become a member at URC, and it's been a joy to see your enthusiasm to share the good news of the salvation of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that This is the one reason why I had a problem with them. It says that observing the commandments means that you only work on Sunday in case of emergency necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Police, security, animals care, etc.
Right.
And that they take the Sabbath day very seriously. And on the fourth commandment, it says, keep the Sabbath. God expects his children to keep the Sabbath, the holy day set apart. This means that we are not to continue with regular, weekly, or cause others to work. We are to rest from our daily work. This also means we are considering finding our rest in Christ, serving him and worshiping him and gathering with his people twice each Sunday in corporation with
mm-hmm.
worship. And I just find that kind of, like, I believe that when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we become at rest in Him.
Well, yeah, we are at rest in Him, but they're talking about keeping the Sabbath there in Exodus chapter 20, of course, when we have the Ten Commandments given, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The Sabbath is specifically described here as not on the first day of the week, but on the seventh day of the week. And that's kind of a problem that people that, you can't work on Sunday. That's the Sabbath. Well, it's not the Sabbath, you know, because here it is, Exodus chapter 20, I'll just start reading verse 8. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Sabbath day is the seventh day, which starts Friday when the sun sets and goes until Saturday when the sun sets. So they were telling you that you had to not work on Sunday at all, right?
Or on what they say on the Sabbath.
Yeah, they were calling Sunday the Sabbath, right, is my understanding.
Yes, but also they don't believe that we should work on that day. We shouldn't even go out for a coffee with somebody or do anything, any kind of work.
Yeah, and I mean it's unfortunate that a lot of churches become legalistic with Sunday and the day. As far as I'm concerned, if somebody voluntarily wants to keep the Sabbath, that's between them and God. But for a church to say that you can't work on Sunday because that's a Sabbath day, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the Scripture. Also, we are freed from much of the law in Christ. That doesn't mean we're free to, you know, steal and bear false witness. Those are also part of the Ten Commandments. But when you do some further reading on the Sabbath, it's really kind of interesting because the Sabbath, if you go over to Exodus chapter 31, I think it is. Let me take a look here just a moment. Exodus chapter 31. All right, I finally made it there. In Exodus chapter 31, God gives some more specific commands concerning the Sabbath, and part of it is hinted at in there. When he was talking about, what they were to do, and he was using the, in the King James, you can see in I'm still in Exodus 20 before I get over to Exodus 31, he's saying, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And so he's using that singular personal pronoun. This is an advantage of the King James Bible. If it starts with TH, like thee, thou, and thine, it's a singular personal pronoun. If it starts with Y, like you, your, and ye, that's a plural personal pronoun. The modern versions have eliminated that distinction, and it leads to confusion in understanding the Bible. And of course, God's not the author of confusion. We know who he is, but who is the author of confusion? The Bible says the devil's the author of confusion. But when we realize that thy, and it's talking about the Jewish people as a nation, a singular nation, this is an indication there of the binding of the Ten Commandments really on them as a specific group of people. Now, this doesn't mean that the principles that are there aren't important and that individually we ought to respect these principles and ideas that are in the Ten Commandments. But Exodus chapter 31, where I want to turn to, it says here in verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep." Now he said children of Israel there, "and verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep." So now we've gone to the plural personal pronoun. So he's talking about this as applied to all of the Jewish people, not just identifying them as a nation, or not just identifying them as, in that sense, as a singular nation. He's identifying them as all the individuals that make up that nation. "Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." And remember, God sanctified the Jewish people. He set them apart from all other peoples. He says, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whatsoever doth any work, or whosoever doth any work in the seventh day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, this is all talked about at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments, because you know, some people would say, well, this is after. The Ten Commandments were back in chapter 20. Now we're in chapter 31. Well, it says in verse 18, the next verse, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of continuing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." So that discussion about the specifics of the keeping of the Sabbath and how it applies to the Jewish people was given when God gave the Ten Commandments. So that's like a commentary on the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Jewish people were required to keep it as a perpetual covenant, and the people who violated it actually were to be put to death. I haven't run into too many churches that encourage Sabbath keeping to advocate putting people to death for violating the Sabbath. But so we see how it specifically applies to Israel, but as far as us as Christians today, we do have the principle that is repeated both in chapter 20 and in chapter 31. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day." And so this idea of a day of rest, you know, six yep. days of work and a day of rest. And that
for us, it's good for us to have it.
Exactly. And that's why I say that if somebody wants to keep the Sabbath, first and foremost, it would be a day of rest, and they should endeavor to rest from Friday night, and you know, when the sun goes down, until Saturday when the sun goes down. That would be the Sabbath. Any attempt to call Sunday the Sabbath is a violation of the Scripture, because when the sun goes down on Saturday, the first day of the week begins. Remember, the Jewish people counted their days from sunset to sunset. And they get that from Genesis chapter 1, where it says the evening and the morning were the first day. So they go from sunset to sunset, not midnight to midnight or sunrise to sunrise. They go sunset to sunset. So the first day of the week begins Saturday when the sun goes down, and it ends Sunday when the sun goes down. So, and of course, that's the day that Jesus rose. And so we meet as Christians on the first day of the week, remembering the resurrection of Christ. And, but it's not the Sabbath. But I remember my grandmother saying one time, we were out pruning some trees, and she said, "You know, there's only 52 days in the year that you can't prune trees." And I said, "Oh, really? When?" And she said, "Every Sunday." And she didn't believe in working on Sunday. And so we understand the idea of taking a day and giving it to the Lord. But if we're going to call the Sabbath and we're going to keep the Sabbath, it's got to be Friday when the sun goes down until Saturday when the sun goes down, and doing no work at all on, you know, Friday night and during the day on Saturday, because that's the Sabbath. If we're going to do that,
I believe at the same time, the Lord, you know, when we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, we are at rest in Him.
Oh yeah, yeah, and we're.
So, no matter what day we celebrate, we could celebrate the Lord's Day on Monday or Tuesday. Or
and actually, we could. In fact, we see the early believers; they were celebrating and worshiping and observing the Lord's Supper. It said in Acts chapter 2, it was in daily and house to house. Remember, they were doing it every day.
Yeah. Every day, yeah, that would be even better. If
so
we worship the Lord, if we have a get together every day and mm-hmm. worship every day, which is hard,
because yeah,
it's hard to do that with people anymore.
Yeah,
that's where I believe that there's a big problem in the church because of that.
But yeah, but we're freed from much of that in that Christ fulfilled the law, and you know, I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
He fulfilled the law at the cross.
Right, right.
And he said it's finished. He said that on the cross, it is finished. So he fulfilled mm-hmm. it. He didn't take away from the law or the prophets, but he fulfilled it.
Yeah.
The cross, the day he died on the cross.
And
we can worship the Lord every day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and we're not restricted to the Jewish feast days and the Jewish holy days. There's nothing wrong with keeping some of them if somebody wants to. It's just that we're not bound to them. You know, when we put our faith in Christ. Now, I do think that it's good if on Sunday, if you can do it. But I mean, hey, I'm a pastor. Sunday's my busiest day of the week. I have, you know, morning it starts, you know, at church. We have our 10 o'clock Bible study, 11 o'clock morning service, and then I try to get something to eat. Then I have a nursing home service at 3:30. Then we have our evening service at 6 o'clock, and then I'm on the radio from 11 till midnight, 11 o'clock at night till midnight. It's a busy day.
Your day starts in the morning and ends in the morning.
Yes. I start, the sun is usually up by the time I get up, so it's the first day of the week still. But it's the second day of the week when I go to bed, or when I finish, I should say, when we finish our evening services. And I've even had some people who are Seventh-day Adventists try to. I remember one time when we were in the Samoan Islands, my wife and I were missionaries, and they were trying. I said, why don't you visit our church? They said, well, why don't you visit our church? I said, can't. They said, why not? I said, because, and they didn't expect this, I said, because we have services on Friday night. And or Saturday, whatever it was, on Saturday we had things a Bible study on Saturday morning. That's what it was. And when they had their church services, because they only met on Saturdays. And I always wonder if there's Seventh-day Adventist churches that have a Saturday evening service, if it ever bothered them that once the sun went down, they're now meeting on the first day of the week. Because some Seventh-day Adventists actually teach that. You're receiving the mark of the beast when you worship on the first day of the week, because they teach that the Catholic Church moved that Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, from the seventh day to the first day, and they even have some that try to say that worshiping on Sunday, like I said, is the mark of the beast. In fact, had a guy that he teaches that. I heard him on the radio teaching that, and he even called my program to try and spread that nonsense. And he actually visited our church at least three times, I think, on a Sunday morning. So I joked one time, said, yeah, I marked him with the mark of the beast, I guess, when he was going out the door, since he came visited our church service on the first day of the week. But
the Adventists are very legalistic too. They're legalistic, yeah. And they believe you can lose your salvation.
Oh yeah, and they're choosy as to which laws that they want to put themselves under. But the thing of it is, if you're going to put yourself under the Sabbath law, you've got to put yourself under all of the laws not just some. You can't pick and choose. And hey, I looked at the clock, we're out of time, got less than 20 seconds, but I was going to say, nobody was ever able to keep all of the laws except for Jesus Christ. And it's through Christ that we have salvation, not keeping the laws. Thanks for the question, Terry, and thanks everybody for listening. God bless. Join us next time. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.